feeling for Jerusalem, and so he was headed back there. And on his way, he was revisiting many of the congregations and encouraging the brethren there. So he stayed 3 months, it says in verse 3, and when the Jews plotted against him as he was about to sail to Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. He was trying to shake off his pursuers, wasn't he? Here was the Apostle Paul. He was making moves. I mean, if he'd gotten on that ship, he might not have made it. But he decided to send some people on the ship, and then he was going to go around this way, and he was going to throw off his pursuers. He was pursued all his life, of course. And Sopater of Berea accompanied him to Asia, also Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and Tychicus, and Trophimus of Asia. These men, going ahead, waited for us at Troas. It's thought that the Apostle Paul was taking these representatives of the various churches who had contributed, because he wanted to, again, strengthen the ties between Jerusalem, the church in Jerusalem, and the congregations that he had helped start. But we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days joined them at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. And now here's the pattern, one of the evidences of the pattern that I mentioned earlier. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together, and in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. And this is a doctor who's writing this, so we're pretty sure he was. But Paul went down, fell on him, and embracing him said, "Do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him." Now when he had come up, had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till daybreak, he departed. And they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted. Interesting event here, right? Here's the Apostle Paul saying goodbye to these disciples, and he is trying to encourage them for the last time. He probably spent a lot of time causing them to remember the great history, the great sermons that he had talked about earlier that he had given earlier in the chapter in the book, recounting the history like Brother Alvy was talking about this morning. He was probably taking the time to go through a lot of that again for them. There were probably questions people had. In any event, this was something that was a very special occasion, and that's why the Apostle Paul was talking so long and taking so much time. But what I find interesting, most interesting about this, is this young man went to sleep and fell, and he was brought back to life by the Apostle Paul. And then the Apostle Paul went back upstairs and kept preaching. Where was I now? Let me pick up where I left off. Just raised a young man from the dead. The thing about this that's interesting is that I think the Apostle Paul was beginning to transition us as a church away from the miracles and wonders, right? And now he had written most of his by this time in his life, he'd already written most of what we have of his writings during his missionary journeys. So the church was becoming established. We know that the signs and wonders were phasing out. And so it's almost like, we've done this over and over before. And so now I want to get back and emphasize what? The Word. We're not emphasizing the miracles anymore. I'm emphasizing the message, the Word of God. So where was I? That was really what's interesting to me about this event. do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him. And when he had come up, had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till daybreak, he departed. Well, verse 13. So now it's the next day. He went ahead to the ship and sailed to Assos, there intending. We went ahead. So Luke is talking in the we arena again. So then we went ahead to the ship and sailed to Assos, there intending to take Paul on board, for so he had given orders, intending himself to go on foot. And when he met us at Assos, we took him on board and came to Mytilene. We sailed from there, and the next day came opposite Chios. The following day we arrived at Samos and stayed at Trogyllium. The next day we came to Miletus. For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he would not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hurrying to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. So Miletus was a little ways from Ephesus. Ephesus, if I have it correct, was more a little more inland. But you can imagine the Apostle Paul saying, oh, if I go to Ephesus, I'm not going to be able to get away in time. So he wanted to limit his contact there so that he wouldn't get involved again after as much as he loved them and so forth. So he called the elders to meet him in Miletus. So they came. And then enters the beautiful, I guess you could say, interaction, for lack of a better word, between the Apostle Paul and his great and wonderful heart and his humble spirit and his devotion to God and the revelation of himself as a person here. Is really striking. It says, and when they had come to him, he said to them, you know from the first day that I came to Asia in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these, and this verse is really to me the pinnacle, as it were, so far of my study of the book of Acts. This is kind of the high point. None of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Some translations say precious. He didn't consider, as I mentioned earlier, he didn't consider his life to be, you know, precious to him. He loved life, obviously. He's talking about joy. He embraced life in a way that it was amazing, considering all the things that, you know, that he went through. But he didn't consider it so precious that he would be afraid to face these trials and tribulations. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Is this thing popping or something? For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that He said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And when He had said these things, He knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. And so there we see the parting of ways with these leaders of the church. And we see the Apostle Paul now on his way, as it were, ultimately to Rome. So the Apostle Paul was about maybe 56, 57 at this point in time, perhaps. And he was not to be with us or with on the earth much longer. Maybe another 6, 7, maybe 10 more years. It's not known exactly. Perhaps, I mean, the history says that he was martyred sometime around the burning of Rome, when Nero burned Rome, and that he came before Nero, appeared before Nero, who blamed the Christians basically at that time for the burning of Rome, though submitted that he did it himself. And anyway, the Apostle Paul, it is thought, was martyred in Rome around 65, 66 AD, sometime around there. But he was in the winter of his life, right? He was in the latter stages of his service. He'd been, like I say, working and evangelizing for over 20 years, or around 20 years at this point in time. So he was now headed back to his hometown, back to Jerusalem, back to his family, back to his old stomping grounds, as they say, not to be flippant about it. But he was ultimately to leave there for the last time as well, very shortly. And he would be sent to Rome, and we'll get into that as we go forward in the subsequent chapters. But now we will leave him as he is departing there from Miletus, and look forward to further study and readings as we go ahead. So with that, we will conclude our reading of the Lord's Word this morning. We are very happy, of course, to continue the work of the Apostle Paul and all of the others, as in our daily lives we strive to please God and to learn from the Apostle Paul and to learn from his attitude and his example, and to find ways that we can also promote the gospel in our daily lives. We welcome again our new brother, and so if there's anyone now who is impressed with the strength and power of God's mercy through the blood of Jesus Christ and would like to avail of that power in confessing and accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and we can help you in that, or if there's any other way we can be of service, please let us know as we stand together and sing the invitation song.